You're listening to Wisdom of the Ancients, where ancient wisdom is remembered.
Hello and welcome. Welcome to Wisdom of the Ancients webinar series. I'm your host, Ian Shelley, and thank you so much for being here with us today. The Wisdom of the Ancients series is about ancient wisdom. It's about what was once known, what was once remembered, maybe forgotten now. Ancient practices, knowledge, and wisdom, not only from our own planet, but from other worlds, galaxies, dimensions, and realms too. Ancient also means remembering our own core, our own true self, the greatest version of ourselves that we can be, our higher selves. And the theme for the series is vessels of love, light, and service. So may we all be open to receiving any messages the divine has for us so that we become a true offering and do our part to help raise the collective consciousness for all beings in all realms. And right now, as we start this call today, we call on the Ancient Ones to support us, to open our hearts. So let me introduce our next guest to you. Sarah Jane Farrell is fondly known as the Trust Doctor. She is a love warrior who helps people and animals to trust and love themselves again, to reclaim the confidence to their own worth and know that they are enough, no matter what anyone else says, including their own saboteur voices. They learn to identify their blind spots, fear-based self-sabotaging patterns, and unconscious commitments that keep them feeling stuck, exhausted, and depressed, so they can transform their old victim stories and trauma into truth and triumph. Because when you rewire your nervous system and stop the fight, flight, or freeze by creating your own safety you never had as a child, you have a strong mind of your own to live a fulfilled, deeply happy, purpose-driven life. Her medicine is part ancient wisdom, part intuitive wisdom, part psychotherapy. She has a solid background in alternative healing modalities, including Chinese medicine, pragmatic equine psychology, and body-mind medicine, as well as nutritional-based science. She knows what works and what doesn't work, coupled with an intuitive gift to be able to see what others can. So it gives me great joy to welcome Sarah Jane to the show today. Welcome, Sarah.
Hi, Ian. Thank you so much for having me. It's just such an honor to be here with you.
Oh, beautiful, beautiful to have you. And everyone, so you know, so Sarah Jane is in South Africa right now, and Sarah is from South Africa, and I am from South Africa. So what are the odds of two South Africans being on the same call? Well, certainly, you know, maybe in the audience, but I'm from Cape Town, and Sarah Jane, you're from a little further up north, right?
Yeah, well, I lived in Cape Town pretty much most of my life, but I'm in Johannesburg now.
Okay. Yeah, so I mean, wow, such a beautiful ancient place Africa is. But everyone, you know, because we're continents apart, there's a slight delay. So there might be times where one of us speaks over the other, and it's not intentional. It's because we're trying to deal with the technology and the delay. But it's also a great practice for us to really be mindful and to slow down and to have awareness and presence. So it's a wonderful practice for both of us. And maybe for anyone else on the call, you know, as a reminder to bring that awareness and that mindfulness into the call. And Sarah Jane would love to get us started with a prayer to get everything started. But let me just, before we do that, because that's going to be a great sacred space that you're going to help create for us, I just want to share with everyone what we're going to be talking about today. So today, Sarah Jane's going to be talking about coming full circle through the ancient medicine wheel. And a little bit of what you can expect during the call today, you'll learn what it means to root down and transform your core wounds to transcend pain and suffering, how to use the medicine wheel to ground into the earth and connect to your true nature, how to turn trauma and blind spots into trust and truth, trust and truth-telling by dancing with the shadows, discover your animal guides and angelic team, and how to start working with them so you never feel alone, and how to heal the great separation sickness and live from your lion heart over fear and self-sabotage. And if you saw the email or were on Facebook, you know that Sarah Jane will be doing many readings today. She'll be doing body scans. She'll be taking questions. So star 2 to raise your hand, and that way you can ask Sarah Jane a question or have her scan your body. or do a mini healing for you. And I'm sure that's also going to permeate throughout the group. And then at the end of the call, Sarah Jane is going to take us through a beautiful guided healing activation / meditation. So that's going to be near the end. That's what we have planned for you today. Between now and then, it's going to be a whole lot of fun, and the divine is going to use hopefully both of us to just, you know, spread the light. So thank you everyone for being here, and Sarah Jane, thank you so much also for being here. It's an absolute pleasure to have you on the show. And if you wanted to get started with taking us through that prayer to really set the stage and create the sacred circle, then you're more than welcome to do that right now.
All right, that sounds absolutely beautiful. So just find a comfortable position, and I want you to just take some deep breaths in through your nose and out through your mouth, just feeling any resistance or tension leaving your body. And I want you to just see a column of light bringing you into this exquisite energy of the beginning of the opening of the Lion's 8-8 portal, and these incredible energies of the full moon and the lunar eclipse that's starting from tomorrow. So I know many of you have already are feeling that. So just breathe into your luminous body along your divine line from the top of your crown chakra all the way down into the perineum, and just rooting down into Mama Earth, strengthening and growing limitless as your breath just courses through every strand of your DNA. Just taking any emotions, any energetic waste back to the body for recycling. And as you do, heightening your awareness to what is truly possible. So now I just invite you to close your eyes. Nichi tai tai, nu oronika, oronika, hey, hey, hey. O great mother, mother of the waters, we call on you. Waters of our birth waters, of our sustenance waters that cleanse us on our death. Waters of life to the winds of the Pachamama, inner warrior, buffalo, white lion, and the elders. And if you can, facing the direction of east, we ask to the winds of the east, great eagle, condor, come to us from the place of the rising sun. Keep us under your wing. Show us the mountains we only dare to dream of. Teach us to fly wing to wing with great spirit, Mother Earth, to see and listen to our hearts above our heads. Be with us now. And to the winds of the south, Mother Jaguar, Lion, protect our medicine space here today. Help us be warriors of light, luminous beings who are willing and able to use our co-creative abilities to walk with lion hearts and great courage. Teach us the way of peace, to live impeccably in trust, and show us the way beyond death as wild, intuitive ones. And turning to the winds of the west, great serpent, hold us in these healing energies. Wrap your coils of light around us. Teach us to shed the past the way you shed your skin, to walk softly on the earth with bear medicine, who knows when to hibernate and rest and when to move. Teach us the beauty way. And to the direction of north, to the winds of the north, ancestors and guardians, hummingbird, great buffalo, the great African kudu, grandmothers and grandfathers, ancient ones, come and warm your hands. Be with us to let go of everything that is no longer serving us. Help us to soar above so we can dream the world into being. And with great open-heartedness, to drink the sweet nectar of life gifted to us, and to be with us as we do what seems impossible. Let us whisper to the wind, we honor you who have come before us, and you who will come after us, our children's children. We gathered for the honoring of all of your children, the stone people, the plant people, the four-legged, the two-legged, the creepy crawlies, the finned, the furred, and the winged ones. help us to see in the dark, embody their characteristics, all our relations, Father, Son, Grandmother Moon, to the Star Nations, Great Spirit, you who are known by a thousand names, and you who are the innameable one, and you for bringing us together right here, right now, and allow us to sing the song of life. Thank you for teaching us to treat each other in all life with compassion and love. Thank you for lifting the heavy burdens with our physical waste and mulching it so we can stay fully present and embodied without judgment and to treat others this way. Thank you for bringing us together in levels of beauty, in love and joy and light. May we keep an open heart to learn what we most need to learn from those who lived well and died well before us. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. And so it is.
Wow. Oh, beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. Powerful, powerful. Fly wing to wing with the Great Spirit. So, so powerful. Oh, I can just feel the connectedness. You can feel rooting down and just inviting in all the spirits. Thank you so much for setting that beautiful sacred space and creating this amazing circle. I can just feel everyone on the call right now just really, really connecting in on the greater level of consciousness. So beautiful. Whew. What a way to start the call. Thank you. So I've got things I want to ask you, certainly about the medicine wheel. But yeah, I gave the formal introduction. You know, in some of our conversations in the past, you've told me some things about how you're used by the national parks in Africa to kind of shepherd the rhinos into the pen so that they don't have to use tranquilizers. And you've got these amazing gifts. Can you just, you know, let people know who you are and don't hold back. You know, we honor you. I mean, the gifts that you have and how you can work with animals almost, you know, magically. It's pretty amazing. So tell us a little bit about Sarah Jane Farrell.
Oh, well, thank you for that. I think you're too kind, but you know, I'm human in my own right, and I suppose for me, I've had so many iterations of how to unpack that experience of, you know, being fully in my truth and being the channel for, especially for the animals, because for as long as I can remember, they were the ones that always held sacred space for me when I felt like I didn't fit in. I was sort of diagnosed early on as being on the spectrum of functional autism. So I much preferred the company of animals to people because I could just be myself and feel my emotions without being made wrong. And I kind of shut down that sort of innate connection with the natural world for a long time, because when I was probably about, must have been 6 or 7, we actually came from Zimbabwe. I was born in Zimbabwe, and I remember my father saying to us one day, come, we're going to go for a drive, and the sun was setting, and we were out on the farm, and we all hopped in the Land Rover and drove off, and I remember the most incredible big kudu, which is a kind of buck that we have here, or deer, that has these beautiful spiral horns, and he was a huge male bull, and I connected eye to eye, heart to heart with him, and before I knew it, a gunshot had gone off and my father had shot this buck. And I remember just feeling, and I can feel the emotion still to this day just rising as I tell the story, of how anybody could take a life like that. And also being what I now know is being in a sort of gestalt mode of being inside that animal's body, I felt it die. And I felt so trapped in this place of being human and part of that somebody could take a life, and it was my father. So I had my own daddy issues with that. But just being really afraid to think that what I was doing in the world as far as connecting with animals and speaking to rocks. And I remember crying when my father sold his old Peugeot 504. You know, the old family car was getting sold off, and I was like sobbing, crying, and telling this car that it was going to go to a great family and it was going to be okay. And I was pretty much ridiculed for all of that most of my life, that I could have this sort of deep connection with rocks and trees and animals. And I shut it down. I really did. After that, I refused to speak apparently for many, many weeks, and kind of gave up the idea of ever eating animals again. So it's been a difficult journey, and I'm certainly still on that. But just the incredible space that animals hold for us, especially horses, they've really shown me the beauty of the lies that I told myself about not being enough, and mirrored back to me all these labels and self-harm and judgments and negative thoughts that I placed on myself. And now I get to actually show up and share that space with other people to know that, you know, you are enough, and you have everything that you need when we stop resisting the natural cycle of life, and to just learn how to trust our ability to fully engage in living deeply happy, and trusting your intuition to follow your own truth. And I think that's really where lions and horses, as the predator and prey aspect of our own inner animal being, because we are mammals, has come into play and has certainly changed my perspective on how I'm showing up and living into my own aliveness. So it's an incredible journey. Yeah.
Beautiful. Well, thank you so much for sharing. Thank you so much. Yeah, beautiful. Yeah, I know what a kudu is. It's K-U-D-U, if anyone wants to look on Google, K-U-D-U. Yeah, it's just so beautiful. And so, let me ask you about the medicine wheel. You mentioned cycle of life, and so I'm going to intuit that there is a tie in there with the medicine wheel. So if you could just start by telling us a little bit more about the medicine wheel, and, you know, why we should use it to create our lives and how it ties in to the cycle of life.
Oh, I would love to, because this is really where I live through that part of me that's always kind of goes into resistance and forgets the direction of the north and everything else. And it's just such a beautiful map, because in the scope of the universe, we are all on this journey on the great mystery of interconnectedness. And I know that it's not always an easy path, and that it's so easy to fall out of alignment with our purpose. And for me, finding your purpose on this earth, because people always talk about purpose as being one thing, I think that is the root of so much of the struggle that we come from in the mind. And when I kind of have looked in my own sort of creation of the medicine wheel, it's not new. And I know, Ian, you know that I was kind of having a little bit of difficulty from being a head tripper and spending so much time in my head when it came to actually what I wanted to speak to on your beautiful summit, where light and love is like the pivotal part of it all, was that we forget that we're part of nature. And this is just such a beautiful, simple way to go back to the ancient wisdom of the medicine wheel. And instead of me going forward and looking at what could I give you, it was just like such a natural default to go back to the medicine wheel, because this is the wisdom and the guidance that so many indigenous tribes have used for so long, from Lakota to the Aborigines to the Bushmen in South Africa. You know, the map is the same rite of passage through life, and you can use it for every situation. that comes up, whether it's business or body or wherever you are in life. It's just such a wonderful anchor to be able to go back to the teachings of the medicine wheel, which generally starts in the East, which is sort of that movement clockwise, where each direction has a significance and a season, you know. So often now in the modern world, we've forgotten that there's a time and a season for everything. And, you know, we see these medicine wheels all over the world in Stonehenge, and we have Adam's calendar here. And, of course, the Lakota stone wheel is very prevalent. I know where you are. But there's so many sacred sites, and in reality, what the wheel reminds us of is that we're all walking the spiral path. We have to go around the circle again and again and again, because we're in different seasons and different timelines throughout our life in our physical bodies. And there are many, many layers of understanding that unfold as you sort of delve deeper into the medicine wheel teachings. And that's what I love about it, because it fits so beautifully with the traditional Chinese medicine and what they call the feeding cycle, where in the compass directions, we have the five elements of the feeding cycle. So again, every aspect of our being, whether that's organs, endocrines, or body parts, has its own consciousness. And again, this is where nature is so beautiful and so patient with us in constantly reminding us that there's no lack or scarcity, and that there's actually nothing to fear. So I love the medicine wheel, because it just gives us a map that we can see, because a lot of times we don't believe it until we can see it. And it gives us this opportunity to see a whole new aspect of ourselves, to witness how we are being fully expressed in what we're creating in the world. So working with that medicine and the animals that are related, because every direction has its power animals as well, it really allows us to very quickly see where we're stuck in those self-sabotaging patterns, and we're cut off from our own trauma and our wounds. I always say this to my clients, that you can't heal unless you feel everything. And feelings in the medicine wheel are in the direction of self. It's all about emotions and really integrating the I am presence before we sort of take that rite of passage into the direction of the West. So I love it, because it's something everybody can relate to. And we can really shift that, you know, when we start to cut through all these sort of stories that we've told ourselves, and all the programming, of course, too, of ancestral and sort of familial traumas that we inherit, the good news is we can change it and very, very easily, I suppose. I know horse medicine always says, don't ask for a lighter load, but ask for a stronger back. And for me, that is the backbone of the compass directions in the medicine wheel.
I've never heard that before. Don't ask for a lighter load, ask for a stronger back. I've never heard that.
Mm.
thank you. Yeah, so talking about the medicine wheel a little bit further, if you're not, so I think most people are familiar with the medicine wheel and know what it is and know about the compass points, but how does one really, you know, integrate the information from the wheel into their lives? I know that there's a lot of shamanic practices and principles, and you mentioned the Lakota tribe, and of course, the Bushmen in South Africa, and you mentioned the Aborigines in Australia. The indigenous tribes utilize this every day. But, you know, if you bring it forward, you know, of course, we have the same collective consciousness, but we're still, you know, in this plane, and we don't always have the remembrances from our past. But you know, mm-hmm. someone in this day and age, how does one who might be interested in, you know, learning more about the medicine wheel or integrating the practices into their daily lives, how does one start to go about doing that?
That's such a great question. And I think, you know, I think the most important part of that is to recognize that we are part of nature, and we are part of the cycle of life. So the medicine wheel, we're always at the center. You know, we're at the epicenter of it, in that unified field that you were speaking of, where we're, you know, everything is connected to everything. And that there, like I said earlier, there's a time and a season for everything. So it's very counterintuitive when we look at how we've been programmed to go into reactivity, to react rather than to respond to wherever we find ourselves in life, and that we're not separate from the whole. So if you sort of look at the infinity loop, for example, where the sort of sacred heart was a geometric form within the light body, that's this 8-8 of the Lionsgate portal. And it's also where in the middle where we are, they formed the Magdalene cross. So each of the circles within the circle, which is why I say it's coming full circle when we're actually going with life rather than against it, we have to connect to the heart and the sacred heart, which is really where we're all playing our part and contributing to being that bridge between the heaven and earth and the masculine and the feminine energies. Because we're always connecting with the earth star chakra and the earth heart. And of course, the brain, the heart brain, which everybody knows about, because I know the people in your tribe, Ian, have done a lot of work with this already. So I think that for me, it's just about the power of choosing to own that we are part of nature and stop you moving away or resisting against it. But really looking at how we are insular, we're insulated within the cycle of life where everything is included, the animals, the plants, the minerals, the birds, the insects, everything, the oceans, we're all connected to all of that. And of course, also the angelic realms, you know, the beings of light and the galactic and the solar energies that I know a lot of your guests have been speaking to. But I think that the most important place is just to start, is just to choose to say, I'm having this, that I am free to choose to be my own authority in this co-creation and let the heart lead the way. And I think this is where sacred geometry comes into play, doesn't it? Where we're reinstating within our lives that divine principle of balance and harmony with the laws of the sun and the great central sun and the galactic confederations, but also the lion that we speak to of being the brave heart in that sort of symbol of our soul essence. So, you know, it's just beautiful because I think it tells the story of our internal landscape or our own internal gardens, and how well we're tending to ourselves is always reflected on the outside. So I could talk about this forever, so you have to pull me back when I kind of go down the rabbit hole from walking this far.
I mean, there are so many beautiful things that you're mentioning. Tending your garden, your internal garden, and nurturing yourself. I'm actually writing that down. That's so important. Oh, yeah, beautiful. The other thing that I was really touched by, Sarah Jane, is at the beginning when I introduced you to everyone, you know, one thing that you say is to help people reclaim their confidence and their own worth and know that they are enough. So that they are enough, no matter what anyone else says, that you are enough. So everyone right now, you are enough. You absolutely are enough. And let me ask you this, Sarah Jane. So coupling with what I've just said, how does someone take the medicine wheel or work with the medicine wheel to root down, to transform their wounds, to transcend their pain and suffering that maybe is causing them to feel that they're not enough?
I mean, this is sort of the common thread that we hold, isn't it, as sort of human beings, that we've been told that we're not enough, that we're separate from everything. And This is the beauty of this work and working with sort of the white lion archetype of the wounded healer, is that we don't trust our own inner knowing. We don't listen to the innate wisdom of our of our physical bodies, which are always moving us toward the light. And yet we go into doubt and we make other people or things or situations or the meaning making of it bigger than ourselves. So it's a big one, and probably one of the biggest concerns that most people that come and see me speak to is that they don't know who they are anymore, because they've sort of put these masks or these false identities of being a mother or a provider and a lover and all these other things, that they actually forget that they are the lightness of being. Because we come in with that. As children, we know that we're enough. And then we sort of get it programmed out of us by all this sort of programming and mores and moralities of culture and tradition and all of that. So, you know, it's a very intuitive process of finding your own truth and getting clear on what to do. You know, I really believe that it's about looking at what motivates us and what we really care about and what we can contribute to the world, and not get stuck in that space of thinking that we don't know. You know, it's trusting what we do know and following that. And it's actually really simple when we actually start to realize that we're in that process of shedding centuries of outdated limitations that have actually blocked our full actualization. And, you know, that's what makes me excited is yes, there's chaos, and yes, there's always going to be stress, but one thing that never leaves you is your body. Your physical body never leaves you. I always say if your body was a dog, it would have run away long ago, because we treat our bodies yeah. And this is that push-pull tension where so many people are finding themselves, and I certainly, you know, still go there, even though I'm in the work and I'm practicing my own rituality all the time. That's part of the sort of human condition, that we do judge, that we do go to the worst case scenario instead of the infinite possibilities of in this sort of push-pull tension between our personal individuation, that sort of I am presence, and that tribal group or hive mentality, which is this Aquarian moon that we're in right now. We have to experience both aspects of life in harmony, you know, that is the way that we're going to live our authentic truth, is to know that we're moving between the light and the dark all the time.
Mm. Wonderful. I've got a couple more questions that I want to ask you, but I also want to go to the phones, because I think that is a great opportunity for people to really work with you and for us to be of extra service to people on this call today. So *2 to raise your hand. And you can have Sarah Jane do a mini healing, body scans, any sort of questions that you need you feel that you need to ask her. So *2 to raise your hand or place your question in the webinar box. I'm going to ask one more question before we go to the phones, and then we'll go to the phones, I promise. And then we'll also do some more a little bit later on in the show. Talking specifically about the medicine wheel, something that's really, I guess, near and dear to my heart, for lack of a better term, is, you know, really connecting in to the earth and our own true nature, our own true self. You know, we are divine. We are certainly an aspect of source. And so many of us are living in either pain or denial, or we're not in full acceptance of our own true nature, and we haven't embodied our full nature. You know, our true nature, talking about the medicine wheel, how does the medicine wheel aid in helping us ground and connecting in to our true nature?
That's such a beautiful question, because I think, again, this is where when we get stuck in that direction of north, which is all about the mental construct of stress and making decisions, and what I like to term as the protective personality of the ego, that the ego wants to keep us safe. And when we spend all of our time in our heads, it's kind of like being the rider So we're kind of operating above our necks as the rider, not as the horse that knows that it's free, that is already liberated. And this is where I think so much of our human shadow is erupting in all the sort of aspects of our global crisis right now, where we forget that we actually have these powerful animal bodies to move us into our truth. And the truth is that we're made to be self-correcting. So we can't, when we stop, when we kind of go against the flow of the medicine wheel, we get stuck, and this is where illness or dis-ease comes into being, because we're disconnecting from the big soul, from that great vision of the East, which is the spiritual laws of birthing ourselves into being, you know, dreaming awake, how we want to see the world and how we can contribute to making it a better place. So I'm not sure if I answered your question, but, you know, I think that's our true nature. It's to be connected. And we disconnect from trusting that we're enough, because we leave our bodies every time we feel challenged or we have some kind of shock or trauma system happen, we jump out of our physical bodies and we go into head tripping or into disconnecting altogether, because that's what our nervous system is designed to do when we can't fight or flee. We go into this free state. And then we stop the natural progression of actually learning from the blessings, or what I call the blessings, of the challenges that come up to teach us. Our emotions are there to teach us what we need to learn, and yet we want to spiritually bypass that because it's not comfortable. And I think that's really what animals have shown me, Ian, you know, is that they are so connected to the present that when they're afraid, they show us the fear. There isn't any sort of masks or any kind of mental construct that tells them that they can't be afraid. They really connect to noticing the fear come up. And then when they realize that there isn't a threat, they shake it off somatically in their physical bodies through movement, through going back to what they were doing before. And we don't, you know, we've forgotten how to stay in touch with our body's natural impulse. And that is part of the nature of who we are, is that we are part of nature. So we have to stop resisting that. I think that's why animals don't get alphas, and we do, is that they really stay with what is moment to moment, and they're not afraid to show it. You know, they tell us when we've crossed boundaries. They show us when we are not being leaders that they can trust to follow, because we're not giving them from that mental aspect that we're safe to be with. And I think that's the biggest part, is really looking at how can we stay connected with our physical bodies, because we are connected to the earth. Whether we are in our heads or not, we're always connected to the earth, and that earth energy is saying know when to wait, know when to sit in what I call the waiting room and fully express your feelings before you move again, and sort of get out of this sort of matrix that's saying to you, you've got to be on all the time and you've got to constantly be in the hustle and the grind and moving. When, if you're in the West, that's winter. It's a time of contraction. It's a time when we need to pull our energy down into the roots and spread our tap roots out into that interconnectedness and communication, and not be all out, which we do in summer in the harvest time.
Yeah, that makes sense. You. Yeah, it does. Yeah, and you know, some beautiful reminders there as well, to be in alignment with the cycles. You're so right. You know, when we fight against the cycles, you know, look at nature with the dormancy, and there's a reason. You know, that's where we gain our strength. If we align with the cycles, so that we can rejuvenate and replenish and really bring forth all that is abundant in the springtime. But if we don't align with the cycles, then we can wither and we're not our truest vibrant selves. Yeah, beautiful reminders. Thank you so much. Okay, we've got a lot of people wanting to talk to you. Let's start off with, let's go to South Carolina, Columbia, South Carolina. It might be Lisa, 0260.
Hi.
Are you? Hi.
Hi, this is Lisa. Welcome. Hi, Ian.
Hi.
Sarah Jane, that was beautiful intro.
yeah.
Thank you. I'm just wondering if you have any guidance. For me, I feel like I'm making connections to something outside of me, definitely. And I guess like any angels or guides that are around me that I should be calling upon when I need help. There's been a lot of moments, like even in my backyard, I feel like nature just becomes active and really alive. And there are things reaching out to me, but I'm not sure, like, I'm still gaining that confidence and connection.
Yeah. So, again, I just want to say to you, trust what you know and really pay attention. I always find it quite interesting when people say to me, you know, I'm waiting for a sign, you know, and meanwhile there's the feathers falling from the trees, or there's a song on the radio you know, we used to sing in tongues and gather plants for medicine and fly and forge paths along the dark forest. And it's really about rooting down. So what I'm actually finding coming up for you is I've actually pulled out of my White Lion leadership card the card of Pride Life, which is about mating. So that for me is really interesting. For you, because if you think about it, it's like, what if you didn't have to figure it out all on your own? You know, are you in a place in your life right now where you're looking for mutual collaboration, and yet you're perhaps feeling that you can't trust that you're coming home to your tribe? Is that something that you're sort of contemplating at the moment when you sort of look at the the season? For birthing things into being, and as women, you know, really tapping into that womb space for you, and looking at how are you wanting to create these sort of connections that are going to bring you back into divine timing. So whether you're in an existing relationship or you're sort of reevaluating love relationship, you know, I would really just suggest that you breathe into that space that's calling you to birth a new vision of life and love and passion into your mating cycle. And look at, you know,
I feel like I've just been more concentrated on building myself, like building and healing myself, so that I can, you know, put that into everything in my life and that I welcome into it, you know.
Mm. That's so beautiful. But yeah, you know, going to the seasons and the direction, I definitely see you in the direction of East and tapping into, you know, what you want to breathe into in new life and love and passion, in whatever you're creating or birthing into the world. And also just to remember that you don't have to do it alone, you know, so calling in, just like the mating season has arrived for so many creatures in the Northern Hemisphere with your spring and your summer. Just really visualize and perhaps focus more deeply on what qualities you desire in co-creation. Is that helpful?
Yes, thank you.
Thank you. You know, Sarah Jane, I'm never amazed, but I'm always amazed when the universe uses one person to answer many questions that are on people's hearts. So Maya, she wrote in. She said, "Hi there. what is the lioness power, especially the white lioness? Thank you. And that was something that Maya asked. And I had actually written down on my sheet of paper earlier on, white lion. And then you draw the lion card, the white lion card. So the universe is, you know, working amazing, amazing miracles and magic, as always. Yeah,
it's so beautiful because it's just like you said, you're holding this beautiful sacred container for people to really step into their light bodies and illuminate themselves out into the world like lighthouses. And the white lions are really there to teach us how to become more congruent with that light. And I think the beautiful part too is that lion energies medicine is really about a collective energy of relying on teamwork, that you don't have to do it all by yourself. You know, the young lionesses are in the pride to use their speed to bring down dinner tonight, and then the ancient wisdom of the elder lions that aren't as agile and fast anymore, they bring that wisdom of how to bring down the prey so that everybody eats. And I just love that about your the Ancient Wisdom Summit is that's really what we're calling in, is no longer the Me Too movement, but really the We Too. That collection of that collective power of really tapping into our own cosmic medicine and bringing our own unique gifts and capacities to that, to really plant the taproots into that center of that medicine wheel, and to look at it with a wide view, you know, where the plane is flat and anything is possible. Because sometimes we take things very literally rather than metaphorically, that, you know, just with the last caller, that, you know, to listen to the mating call and move towards that you're being called. I think it's such a beautiful message for where we're finding ourselves right now.
Thank you. Let's take some web questions. So Christine from Ackworth. Oh, from Atlanta. Christine from Atlanta, she wrote and saying, oh, the location was wrong. She is feeling extremely, extremely sick and nauseous today with lots of energy shifts, transformation, detoxing. You know, that might be due to the eclipse energy that we all find ourselves in. But she's asking if you can do a body scan on her and help her out.
Absolutely. So just give me a second. I'm just gonna tap into that. Did she give you her surname by any chance?
No.
Okay. So her name again, Christine.
Christine, yeah.
Oh, yeah. So what I'm picking up is a stagnation for her on the gallbladder liver meridian. So this is very much relating to the element of wood. And what happens when we don't water our wood? We start to snap. We start to get frustrated and angry because we're kind of fence-sitting. And I've actually got I can see it in my mind's eye. So I'm just going to imprint an energetic qualitative key. It's what we call queebs in biogeometry or sacred geometry. And the one that's coming up for her is around electrosmog. So I'm just going to give her that biosignature right now, which might be causing some of this nauseous that she's feeling because of the amplification of the energies right now. But it almost feels like she's getting migraines around electrosmog. So how can she clean up her electromagnetic frequencies so that her Wei Qi gets stronger? I would just say go back to nature. Go take a nice walk in nature. Get away from all these sort of harmful electromagnetic frequencies from cell phones and towers and all of that. So and if she wants later on, I'll actually post that queeb, that biosignature, in the Facebook group so that she can just use it to impregnate these energies to ground her. and to really get out of this migraines. But it just feels like her liver is struggling right now, Ian, to assimilate, detonify all of the collective energies, but also where she has got a backup of a pure and impure thought that's actually creating almost a migraine. So I'm just going to also just throw in there quickly, because I know we're mindful of the time here, but I want you to just ask this question to yourself and just notice where you feel this in your body. Is what is the value of creating your life as a headache? And everything that doesn't allow that to shift and change for you, would you be willing to say yes now? All right. It'll probably run for a couple of days. Just so she can really sit with her emotions, sit with the emotions of where she feels stuck and rigid. And also look at, you know, what is, I love that question, because a lot of times when we get a headache, we feel like it's an external thing rather than going internal and tending to that garden of ours, of looking at, am I watering my plants? Am I watering my wood? When we don't water it, what happens? Well, we shrivel and die, and wood breaks, and it governs muscles and tendons and ligaments in Chinese medicine. So I would really look at where can she really tap in and use this beautiful full moon energy, which is all about emotions and the direction of south, to look at what's really going on underneath the surface. You know, what is underneath the fear of not moving in the way that she feels she needs to move? And I'd love to know some feedback. Yeah, let us know if that resonates with you.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay. Yeah, and Keisha from Mineral Wells also has been dealing with migraines or migraines and pain that's running through her teeth. So is that something that Keisha can also do, or is that specific to Christine?
Well, I always laugh at this, because like you said earlier, the synchronicity and the interconnectedness of one that's on the call is just like we're so more similar than we are apart. And you can't make this stuff up, you know, it's just like when we're divine, it comes up. So absolutely. So I think we're all, you know, knowingly or unknowingly, we are really being bombarded, not just with the amount of chemicals and toxins that are in the air, but that we are part of the reason why so many of us are feeling rattled and shaken at times of huge acceleration like this, is because we're being bombarded by electrical magnetic frequencies that are actually not good for us. So I would just, you know, remind everybody again to, as the wisdom of the ancients of the summit are saying, is connect back into nature. You know, look at your sleep hygiene, look at your use of EMS, you know, cell phones. Start to pull back on that and get more connected to the earth, who is the most beautiful recycler of all the electrosmog that we're all constantly under.
Yeah, great reminder. And there's so much, you know, you're so right. We just look around and, you know, we leave our Wi-Fi on throughout the night. You know, maybe because... You know, I'm going to say for myself, I'm probably too lazy to turn it off, but I've been told to turn my Wi-Fi off at night, you know, but I don't. So these things are really important. So this is a great reminder, for me to actually start paying more attention to that personally.
And you said, Ian, because like you said, you know, it's just like we know what to do. You know, we're all here, we're all gathered here, and this is just... This is not anything new to anybody. This is just a remembering of what we want and how we can access it again when we actually start trusting our own internal knowing. You know, it's just like we're part of nature, and the BG3 energy and biogeometry or radiesthesia, we're supposed to be going up and down like the waves of the ocean on the horizontal. And yet as we have an electrical component to our own bodies, the constant bombardment of EMFs in our modern world is affecting our electrical circuitry. So that's affecting our brain. It's affecting neuroplasticity of the brain. It's affecting our nervous systems, because there's just, it's like we're almost like shorting out on the DB board of our electrical component. And we have to remember to practice daily rituality of remembering to turn things off and remembering to connect with the grass and the earth and cleanse ourselves of all the sort of electro smoke. So I'll definitely post that one on the Facebook page, because I think we can all benefit from it. And, you know, just know that the biosignature that I'm speaking about, it's just a frequency, just like our signature has a frequency. These are qualitative environmental energy exchange balances that help to harmonize and balance us when we're out of alignment or we're out of balance. So all we have to do is look at it. Some people like to draw it onto their skin. Some people like to just put it under their pillow while they sleep or in their pockets during the day. And actually, you could probably put that one on your cell phone or on your mobile devices. Just stick it on the back of your mobile devices, and it'll help to eliminate any kind of electrosmog that's interfering with your own innate knowing.
Thank you.
Yeah, they're pretty powerful.
Let's do one more web question, and then we'll move on to showing people how they can work with you, because this is all super, super great information. And, you know, it's not part of the topic per se, the medicine wheel, but it's all connected. But, you know, the biogeometry and the body scans are so, so interesting and so supportive for everyone in the community. Here's a question from Carla in Grants Pass here in the U.S. She says, "Hi, Sarah Jane. Could you please do a body scan about my new dog I adopted named Magic? I wonder what our path together will be."
Magic, I love it. Okay, let's see. So she doesn't say what kind of dog it is, because I'm seeing like a little black dog, almost like a schnauzer or a, what do you call those? Like Maltese poodle mix. And either this is a dog that this is a dog that she had as part of her soul contract as a child that's come back in another body, or this is the dog that's showing her, you know, this is the alchemy. It's time to step into your magic and do the work that she came here to do. Because I love animals, especially dogs. They spelled backwards, it's God. You know, and I think they're just such beautiful reminders of our connection to divine, to the universe, and they're always teaching us how to be present with what is. So I would love to know if the picture of the dog I'm seeing is her dog and not another Magic, because there's so many dogs of the same name around the world, which is why I always like to sort of ask for the address as well. But yeah,
Carla,
you know,
Tell us. Type of dog we have. Yeah. Tell us.
Exactly.
We gotta know. Oh, we got the crazy South Africans on the phone. All right. Can't get them together.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Let us know.
As much as animals come in with their own soul contracts, they do have soul contracts with us. And you know, I had a beautiful husky. He looked like a wolf. He had these beautiful blue eyes, and he used to long to come inside, but he was a bit of a kleptomaniac. So when my daughter was born, he had to stay outside because he'd steal all the stuff. And when he passed, I picked up a cat, not going to the shelter to look for another cat, but this cat decided to come home with us. And it took me a while to actually realize that this was my husky that had come back in a cat's body, because he wanted to be an inside dog. So he got his wish by incarnating in a cat's body, and I never realized that animals crossed species until he came back in a cat's body. But, you know, they have their own contracts with us. but they also have their own contracts. So, you know, I would just say to her to be open to receiving whatever medicine he's come to give her and not be attached to any outcome. But his name kind of says it all. So I'd say tap into your own magic. Yeah.
Well, everyone, you know, you're getting a glimpse of Sarah Jane's gift today. Wow, so profound. I mean, your God-given, or, you know, your abilities are pretty amazing. Body scanning and biogeometry and being able to communicate with animals and then connect people to the medicine wheel. So just really a blessing that you are to the community. So thank you so much. And I think this is a great opportunity now to show people how they can work with you. So I'm going to direct everyone to Sarah Jane's offer. And if you're on the webinar page, you would click the special offer button, and that would take you to a page you'll see, Coming Home to the Heart Through the Ancient Wisdom of the Medicine Wheel. And if you're not on the webinar page, you would type in wotasummit.com/Sarah Jane. Now, Sarah Jane is hyphenated. It's SARAH-JANE. So wotasummit.com/Sarah-Jane. And that will allow you to follow along visually, and you can see what the offer is. So, Sarah Jane, you have a couple of things here that you're offering. There's an option one, so if you could tell us about that. And then also option two is a private session with you that includes everything that you're going to tell us about in option one. So if you could go ahead and just tell people what this program is, and you know, just go through some of the highlights, and then let them know also what it's like to work with you and what they can experience and things they can, you know, give them some examples of what they can ask you, that type of thing.
Oh, I'd love to. And thank you for this opportunity to share this work, because I just think it's such a beautiful foundational piece to all the other work that we build upon as we sort of go through this mastery of learning how to be human kindness in the world. And I've actually paired up two of one of my favorite things, which is the going full circle through the medicine wheel, because we are at a time where we need to remember that we aren't separate, that we're all connected to everything, and everything affects everything. So how we think affects our hormones and our chemical exchange and how we're showing up in the world. And this journey through the medicine wheel is really going to support and assist people to really understand that and trust that they know what they know. And this is just a beautiful awakening, a remembering to look at where you can let go and let go of the things that you cannot control, and return to trust. You're returning to that beautiful heart space that horses hold for us, where their heart field is like 600 times stronger than ours for a reason, because we can start to see where we're attached to meaning making, or we're attached to the ideation of the mind and the protective personality of the ego, and move back into really trusting that we are in co-creation with spirit. So over four of these lessons, every lesson we're going to go through one of the directions of the compass wheel. And what's different about this class is it's not just more information. It's very pragmatic in guiding you back to your heart, back into that sort of quantum field of question rather than conclusion, which shuts us down, and how you can start moving in the season that you're in, or hibernating in the season that you're in, regardless of what's happening around you. So we go through this in each lesson. We start in the direction of north, which is, I'm sure many people know, you know, we're always asked, you know, what is your North Star, and how you can use things like Enneagram and numerology and spiritual astrology to connect into your purpose and get the results that you want, actually, because purpose is just where you are in the present. It's not one thing. So it's really about more flexibility. And instead of asking, you know, what are you doing right, to start looking at, you know, how can I create more of this, rather than looking at what you're doing wrong or going into the blame and the shame of that. So every lesson I give you, it comes with a full workbook of fill in the answers and some journaling and some meditation on top of the lessons. But really getting to know yourself again and to remember what you came here to share with the rest of us. And so we go from one lesson that starts in the north, and then we go into the direction of the south. So any of you that know spiritual astrology, this again is where you can sort of bring in the information of your karmic debt or the lessons that you learned in the south node of your chart, and the north node, which is where you're going, which is your vision and your purpose, and start to use your emotional body by staying connected to your physical body as your greatest consciousness facilitator to guide you through this rite of passage, and to really stay as the eye of the storm, no matter how rocky and disruptive the choice points are that are happening around you. So it's a beautiful journey, and as I said, very pragmatic, because you're going to leave with the tools and processes to actually notice your triggers when they come up, ask the aligned questions to get you moving again, and really stay in that deep intuitive trust of your animal body to follow your natural impulses, not go into that sort of mental construct of what you think you can't do. So I love this journey, because as simple as it is, it never gets old. And it works because the ancient medicine of traditional Chinese medicine with the five elements and this compass direction is the spiral path. It's how we walk through life and really tap into the richness of being embodied. So I really hope that people look at it. It's not... it's my version of it, based on my work with trauma and the places where a lot of the time what we're working with from that sort of direction of the east, which is our physical birth and the illusion of individuation, of feeling separate to ourselves, really comes full circle as we go through each direction. To shed the old skins in the direction of the West, and to really deepen into right relationship in the South, and come full circle in the North, where we're attuning through the systems and the structures to make sure that the plans that we're taking out and putting out there in the ethers of the East, and the vision in the air of really birthing ourselves into being, comes into play. So it's a beautiful journey, and it's had some beautiful stories about that, which you can also find on the page. When you sort of click on the link, you'll find a lot of people speaking to just how this has impacted their lives. And then the part that I added on as a bonus, I just couldn't help myself, because I tend to still be a bit of an overgiver. But it just, as you were saying, everything is connected to everything. So how you do anything is how you do everything. And when we can look at the blind spots, I mean, they're called blind spots for a reason, because we can't see them. So unlike other shadow work where, a lot of it is speaking to our really remothering the parts of the abandoned child, or places where we fragmented off from trauma in our lives, it's about remothering yourself from a very kind, compassionate place, that we hold the parts of ourselves that are stuck in the trauma at whatever age it occurred, in whatever that is, and then looking at how we project the hurt, you know, hurt people. So when we're not feeling safe, how do we create a sense of safety for the part of us? Because it's not the adult self. It's the part of us that's still stuck in the trauma at whatever time we were traumatized, and really giving her a voice so that we can start to be more compassionate, not just to ourselves, but in allowance to how other people show up and trigger us. So the shadow dancing classes, there's two of them, and there's also some guided activations and some editing on the Akashic timeline, because we can edit our Akashic timeline as much as we can edit how we want to show up in the future, is all included in there. So that you'll have a whole new dialogue on getting what you want, which creates a win-win situation for both parties, whether that's a business or with your loved ones or your children or your lover. It all works in the same way of really taking full ownership of your rite of passage and your insecurities, and saying things in a different way, where people are going to want to support and assist you in transforming through it. So I had to add the shadow dancing classes in there, because when we learn how to dance in the shadows, then we're no longer stopping on some level of the compass directions on the medicine wheel that actually stops us from creating and regenerating our lives. Mm-hmm. So it's a very full and rich and very robust moving system that I'm inviting people to come and play with me. And as you said, of course, in option B, I wanted to offer the 60-minute private session so that we can really work on anything that's sort of come up for people while they're moving through the work of the medicine wheel and the shadow dancing classes, or to use to really address and get really laser focused on areas of their lives where they feel blocked, or with health challenges, or they can even use it with their animal companions. If their animals are sort of showing up with behavioral issues, 99% of the time it's their way of telling us that we're out of congruence, or we're out of balance on the medicine wheel. So it's also a beautiful opportunity for you to have an animal communication between you and your animal, and to really get the wisdom of what your animal's soul contract is with you, so that you thrive and your animal will have to take it on for you. Yeah.
Wow.
I love it.
So, yeah. So that's a 1-hour private session. And what I'm hearing is nothing is off the table. So you could work with people to do, you know, health issues, the body scans, the animals. You could also work with people on helping to integrate the medicine wheel information into their lives, or get clarity on the medicine wheel information. So all those intuitive readings and guidance, it's everything's on the table. Is that what I'm hearing you say?
Absolutely. And, you know, this is so deeply rooted in the work that I do with people, because a lot of times someone will come to me and say, oh gosh, you know, I'm really stuck in my business and I don't know what to do, and I don't know why what I'm creating isn't working. And again, this is where using the medicine wheel, where you sort of look to the north as grounding in your plans and structures and the medicine of the elders, or the wisdom that you've gained through things you've done before, come into being. So it's a beautiful way where you can actually start to look at what you want to burst into being in your business as well. So that South really being that fire and the alchemy of action is, how do you show up and take action and stop waiting? And then going right into that rite of passage where perhaps what you've dreamed into being hasn't come into fruition yet, but moving from the South, where you're taking aligned action, and through that rite of passage into the West, where the cash flow and the resources and everything you're ready to give so that you can grow and gain back happens. So, you know, the applications of it apply to every area of our lives, and it's why I use it as one of sort of the foundational stones or anchors of the work, of being deeply rooted into who we are and how we belong in this big web of life that we're all connected to.
Mm. Yeah, so if you were here earlier, everyone, and you heard some of the readings, you heard, for example, that I think it was Christine from Atlanta who was suffering from nausea and just overall fatigue or something like that, but definitely nausea. And then Sarah Jane was able to pinpoint that specifically they were the electromagnetic frequencies that were impacting Christine, and sent some queeps, right?
Yes.
Some biosignatures. So Sarah Jane, you've also got an energetic quiver of tools or things that you can use to help people in the healing and their clearing.
Absolutely. And that's the beauty of this work, is that when you're not fixed in showing up in one way, I always kind of ask, what is the energy that is required in this moment to support the being into fully embracing the changes, integrating, cleansing, clearing, purifying, synchronizing, and getting back into alignment with their North Star? So, you know, I'm not attached to what tools I use. I do have a very big toolbox, but, you know, it's about really letting go of the mind and the projection or the expectation of how I think something needs to show up, and really getting out of the way and tapping into what the body's asking for. Because I think that's one of the biggest things that we miss in healing. Healing really takes place in all the hundreds and thousands of sessions that I've done over the years. It happens on the spiritual level. So if we're going to be connected with spirit in that element of air and the direction of the east, we have to do the shadow work. We have to do the deep down work of sitting with our emotions, allowing ourselves to grieve, giving grief a sound, for example, and not trying to rush over, but really going at the pace of the physical body, because that's where we hold issues in our tissues. So, you know, we need to be able to create movement in our bodies so that we don't break tendons and have myocardia infections of the heart. Interestingly enough, this is the month right now of peak of the pericardium, peak of the heart. So again, it's just always so beautiful and synchronistic how all these energies are coming together again to just say, stay in your heart, trust what you know, follow your body's innate wisdom and go there regardless of what other people are doing. It's really about trusting your own innate wisdom and also supporting it, whether that's through lifestyle changes or diet or hydration or better sleep or clearing out the electro smog. You know, everything is connected into this web of life. And I think that's why it stood the test of time through centuries, because it works, because you work.
Yeah. And I think you mentioned this in the beginning, but we didn't really make a point about it, but you have a very deep background in ancient Chinese medicine too, correct?
Mm-hmm. Yes. I love it because it works, you know. Every organ in the body part has its own consciousness, and this is the work of Bruce Lipton. You know, the biology of belief is that our thoughts create feelings, which create the emotions that create the disease, because we're fighting against our body's innate sense of being. So it really is that coming full circle of science and medicine of today with the ancient medicine and of the five elements of Chinese, traditional Chinese medicine and the compass directions.
All integrating into the medicine wheel as well. You know, it just it really brings us back to just back to the knowing and the knowledge that we are one. We are all one. We are all part of the greater collective consciousness. As much as the tribal chaos has caused us to believe sometimes that we are separate, and sometimes we ourselves believe we're separate at times, of course, you know, being human beings on the earth plane who haven't quite made it all the way. we believe that, but you know, everything that you're talking about, you know, all the ancient teachings of the indigenous people and the ancient ones from the East, as well as the indigenous peoples from, you know, various parts of the world, all have a very, very similar foundation in their belief systems and their knowledge that we are all part of the greater consciousness.
Exactly. And I think that's really where we're being called back into, is that in our sort of Western culture of this modernistic world where we think we've evolved through the prefrontal cortex, we've lost the rites and the villages and the midwives that used to sing songs as we transition through challenging times or different seasons. And we've lost that direct wisdom from our ancestors. And in so doing, created a very cultural poverty, a body poverty, where the modernism's left no space for things like grief, you know, which many of us describe as a deep longing or a homesickness, where we are so touch-starved and so hungry for change, and yet we're missing that support of the having eyes on us. You know, in the old days, we had eyes on us, and we took turns. One slept like the horses. You know, they don't lie down unless they're in a herd where they can close their eyes. And it's the same with us. I'm so hypervigilant and so shut down from the natural things like our own circadian rhythm and how we move through the seasons as a time and place for all things, that we've got nowhere to go with it. And I think this is a beautiful way to anchor in those ancient teachings in a way that we can really grow ourselves up and create our own safety.
Yeah, beautiful. Well, I'd like to take some more questions from some callers, because this is a way that we can just be of service to as many people as possible as well, besides obviously the amazing information that's coming through. There was just one question that was asked a few times around the option one and the four lessons. They're actually not live lessons with you, right? They are modules where people can listen along to your teaching, correct?
Yes, they are. They were actually recordings from one of the times I taught this live online. But they apply to, like you said, they all apply to everyone. So the questions that are asked during each training are always going to be relevant to you, because we're all suffering from the same human conditions. So yes, they are recorded, and there's there's also a whole what I call like the paving the way, the pre-work before you dive into lesson one. There's a whole nother very robust section that's got meditations and activations and written work to really prepare you to start moving into the compass directions. And I go into Jacob Narby's work and some of the quantum physics behind that. So you're going to get a whole audio recording around that as well before you actually dive into the compass directions with me.
Okay, wonderful. Okay, let's go to West Palm Beach, Florida. West Palm Beach, Florida. Could be Nancy, maybe?
Hi, Nancy.
Hello? Are you there? Anyone there? No one there.
Yeah.
Okay, so, wait.
There she
was
is.
That her? are you there?
Yes, I am.
Okay.
Hello.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
We can.
Okay. Hi. How are you? I'm surprised. You were saying Nancy, and I'm saying, oh, the person has the same name I do.
You're the one.
I'm the one. Thank you. Good afternoon. I would just prefer a scan so that I can get whatever is appropriate for me at this point, because there's so many different issues, but we'll keep it simplified.
All right, so Nancy, let's see. So So are you, do you have digestive issues? Do you kind of feel like you're a little slow in elimination?
Well, actually, that is a problem because I've been since the last eclipse that we've had, the right side of my, where the liver area, the gallbladder, has been really uncomfortable. So, yeah.
Yeah, so the first thing that sort of came up for you is stagnation in the stomach. So I would really invite you to look at, you know, where are you not digesting life very well, or where are you maybe ruminating or chewing or worrying, which is just prayer in reverse on things that you can't change. So I'm getting a queeb for you on the phrenic nerve, which is really like, think of it as like the information highway, like your internal GPS, that sort of connects to the vagus nerve. So I don't know, it just, I get the sense that you're not trusting the information that you're getting, and you're going into this sort of state of worry and overanalyzing things right now. And it's
I'm my own doubting Thomas. It's easy for me to see for others and do for others, but it's more difficult to see or believe for myself.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, you know, that whenever we sort of go into the pathological consciousness of the stomach, which is like we're worrying about things that we can't change. So where you're actually living in the past or you're living in the future, mm-hmm. and you're not being present with what's available to you. So it really feels like your whole metabolism is slowing down. And mm-hmm. I'm going to just work on the phrenic nerve for you. And bring in better vagal tone. So, you know, you could do some vooing where you really start activating your throat chakra to really start to deepen into strengthening that vagus tone, especially the ventral vagal nerve mm-hmm. and the phrenic nerve, so that you trust it and you move on it quickly. It's like you're stuck in procrastination and it's showing up in your body as stagnation.
Right.
So just give me 1 minute. I'm just going to see if I can get that running. All right. Just check in with your body. See how you're feeling or if anything shifted there for you.
Yeah, I mean, I can definitely feel a shift.
So, you know, just look at what are you ready to let go of. And, you know, I also get the lion medicine that's really saying that it's not a time to be overly cautious. So it's time to, you know, it's time to take action. So wherever you've sort of been ruminating or worrying about how, just trust that it'll show up and just take mm-hmm. that first Just take that first step. So lion medicine is really saying that this is a time for no caution. You know, you've really got to step in and trust that you're on the right path. And when you do that, then you're, you know, the stomach actually is really interesting too, because the stomach is governed by earth. So, and also we have our enteric brain there, you know, the big, for me, that is the brain that governs our life, not the top of our heads. So I would really just, you know, look at maybe asking, you know, is this the right time for you to do a detox or juice cleanse or something so that your liver can let go of all that sort of stagnant energy that's been backed up because you haven't been able to make up your mind. Is that helpful?
Well, I have been, yes, it makes sense because I've been detoxifying. I've been on a pretty much liquid fruit diet for the past year. It just seems like for the past week I've been going through some huge purge. I could feel it coming from deep within, right? I just didn't know how to shift it or change it. Somehow I was stuck with that.
Yeah.
Well, everything makes sense.
Yeah. So thank you for doing the work, because remember too that a lot of times we're not looking, we're in such a hurry to shift things or run a clearing or, get rid of stuff, and sometimes we just need to sit with it. Remember, you're doing your work, and in doing that, you're actually working on tonifying the collective. And just when we think it's not working, that's when things start moving again. So I just, you know, invite you to just sit in the waiting room for a while, but just trust that you don't have to be overly cautious. You know, you want to look at what am I aware of, not what you need to be afraid of, which is what being careful is.
Right. So, that's been the message I've been getting for the past week. So I've been trying to sit with that. But sometimes I get anxious and just want it to sit.
Yeah, I know. And that's, I suppose, one of the most beautiful gifts that animals teach us is the presence of our persistence and also patience to go at the pace of our body, not at the pace of our mind. Because so often we clear things on a mental construct or an emotional construct, and then we go, well, why am I still stuck? Because we haven't given the body the opportunity to release that on a somatic way, whether that's through peristalsis, through through elimination, or through sweating that out. We need to let our bodies go at their own pace and be in allowance of that. So thank you for the work that you're doing.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
My pleasure.
Thanks, Nancy. Beautiful. Well, let's do another one. I think we have time for another one. So let's go to La Jolla, California. Oh, where did they go? Wait a minute. There they are. Is it maybe Catherine? Hi there, welcome. Can you hear us?
Hello.
Hello, can you hear us?
Can you hear me?
We can hear you.
Hi. Yes, my name is Kathy, and my question is very similar to actually ties into the last question. I've spent the last 3 years shifting, you know, out things and taking in new energies, and I feel so good emotionally, but I still have problems in my body. I have arthritis in my hands and feet, and I have a heart valve issue that's not good, and I don't understand why I can't seem to move from feeling really emotionally healthy to feeling physically healthy. So would you be able to tell me what is stopping me or blocking me there?
Hi. Yeah, well, thank you for being vulnerable enough to ask that, because I think, again, you're absolutely right. You know, the people that show up on these calls is really holding that desire and that ask for the collective. So thank you for that. And thank you for the work that you've done so far in really shifting and up-leveling yourself on a cellular level. You know, I think it's so easy to rush in there and want to know the answer why. And I think that's another reason why going at the pace or the flow of the medicine wheel is such a beautiful anchor to remind us that sometimes we need to slow down. And I know it's not easy because we live in a time construct where life is moving by us really, really quickly. And we think we want what we want. The ego wants what it wants. And, you know, you're absolutely right. So much of what we heal happens on the spiritual level. And then the body needs time to actually process that. So I so often hear people say, yeah, you know what, I've done so much work and I know this in my mind and in my heart, I know this, but my body's still in pain. So again, I would just say tread really gently on the internal landscape of your soul and your heart, you know, and look at what your heart needs from a very biomechanical point of view. Because if you just think about arthritis and things like fibromyalgia, any kind of arthritic pain, if you have it, is it in your hands? Why am I feeling it's more in your hands than anywhere else?
I have it in both hands and my right foot. And then I also have aortic stenosis in my heart, which is, you know, a potentially life-threatening condition.
Absolutely. Yeah. So, you know, it's like, where are you still hanging on, you know, gripping on for dear life? Where something that perhaps was a sense of concern or was threatening your safety is still running on your nervous system. You know, this is often oftentimes when we are pumping out so much cortisol because we feel like we're under some kind of threat that
but
our bodies
don't really feel stressed. I feel so good. I can't even begin to tell you I feel so good. But then when I do like Reiki, I do Reiki on my hands or on, you know, on one of my fingers or on, you know, my foot, I can relieve the pain for like one day. The next day it's back. So my Reiki isn't getting very far.
Yeah. So would you be willing not to judge that as a wrongness because you don't know what's changing on a cellular level and sometimes it just takes a while for it to show up in the physical. But, you know, I think that you'd probably benefit from doing a private session where we can really go deep into this and really get to the root cause of that because so often, you know, this is why they're called blind spots because we can't actually see what's holding us back. If we knew, we wouldn't still be, you know, having the issues that we have with our physical bodies or our relationships. So, you know, I would be doing you a disservice to say that it's one thing. And I would really be more interested in getting a full sort of workup with you where we can take an integrative functional approach to clearing the sort of residual crystals that are in your body that are causing the inflammation and also causing your heart to be inflamed because it's kind of all related to how we move through life, right? So you've got joy in your heart. You need to tell your heart that. Because the heart might be still be running on those old operating systems. You know, just like with animals, sometimes they don't know that they're no longer in their bodies. It's the same for us. If we've left our physical bodies for any length of time, especially during our childhood, where most of our beliefs come from pre-3-year-old, where we weren't feeling safe or we didn't have our primary needs met. And oftentimes we can get right down to the root cause of when that happened. And for you, I get a sense that, I don't know, is your mother still alive?
No, but neither of my parents are alive.
Because I get a sense that your mother almost had a miscarriage. So this sort of root subconscious trauma is still running on your bodies, your heads, your countenances, the whole of you, from about 7 months in utero.
Wow. See, now I never picked that one up, but that could very well be true.
Mm-hmm.
I did have a feeling that I was unwanted, and it could be that her body almost had a miscarriage.
Yeah, it's very strong, and I see that sitting on like this in epigenetics. You know, we have certain switches, DNA, RNA, LNA. So I'm just going to ask right now to see if we can support that running cellular memory, going back on replacing all the old genetic code on that 7 month in utero with new healthy genetic code. And replacing all the old DNA, RNA, LNA with new healthy DNA, RNA, LNA. And all the oaths, vows, swearing, sealties, communities, binding and bonding contracts, any promises that you made willingly or unwillingly to come into this world. Because it could have been that you changed your mind in utero, that you didn't want to sign up for the life that you'd chosen with your parents. So we're just going to run both ways. Yeah. Yeah, and I'm just going to ask for all circuitry. So any circuitry that's broken, open, crossed, shorted, any thievanized circuitry. So anywhere where your brain, your heart brain is telling your head brain is telling your heart brain that it's not safe to be fully engaged in the physicality of your body in this lifetime to run. And you'll have to let us know. I get a sense it'll run for about maybe 3 or 4 days or until it's complete. So do check in on the Facebook page and let us know if you've noticed any change in the joints, in your joints and your in your heart muscle as well, just to see if anything changes. Just remember, be gentle.
Okay, thank you.
My pleasure.
Okay, thank you so much. Much love. Beautiful. Okay. Well, Sarah Jane, I think this would be an amazing time for you to take us through the closing prayer. But before you do that, I wanted to remind people, because I didn't think it would be appropriate afterwards, because I think the space will be quite profound and sacred as well. I want to remind everyone that Sarah Jane's offer is available. You can see it now if you're looking at your computer, or you'll get the link tonight on the replay. And just listen in again and see if this is something that your being is resonating with to work with Sarah Jane privately. You can get a sense certainly by listening to some of the callers who've been able to get hold of her level of really expertise and healing capabilities and diagnosis. So by all means, feel into whether you'd like to work with her privately. That option two includes a private session. Then option one includes her medicine wheel program, that you can really get intimate with the medicine wheel in those four lessons plus all the supporting material. So I just wanted to honor you one more time by sharing your work with everyone, just giving voice to that before we moved on to the prayer.
Thank you, Ian. I so appreciate this beautiful space that you've created for us all to come together and come back to our hearts and be the change that we all so desperately are asking for. So thank you.
Thank you.
All right. So just to set the tone, I'm going to just take you through a sinus activation. Again, if it's not simple for me, it's not the trust process which I practice. So this is really about connecting to the heart. And the card that I've pulled while you were talking a minute ago to anchor this in is the freedom card, which is no surprises again, because freedom is a divine right. And as lion warrior shamans that we all are, it really is about saying yes to recognizing that we all have free choice, and that with that comes responsibility, not just to our own lives, but to the earth and others as well. So during this powerful eclipse and the Lion's Gate portal, I just invite everybody as we go into this activation to just look at how you can free yourself up and let go of some of these holds or places you're maybe gripping on for dear life where you don't need to, and to just listen to your innate wisdom and listen to your body, and just know that as a steward of the earth, that you're also connected to the earth and you have everything that you need to really become truly responsible for your life. So I invite you to just get in a comfortable position, either lying down or sitting, or if you're standing up, and you can put your hands in your heart if you wish. Keep your eyes open or closed, and just remember that our defensive systems, where we close our heart down, affects our thymus gland. And our immunity, where we're either overly defensive or we do not have strong enough boundaries to create our own safety. So just connecting to the heart. And just imagine that you're moving from behind your eyes, and instead of looking out on your normal sense of sight, that you're looking on the subtle sense behind your eyes as you move down behind your mouth, and then looking out at the world from there. And now as you continue to just feel your heart and your chest rise, with every in-breath and full with every out-breath. That there is a season for everything. And I want you to continue down your throat chakra activating the lion's gate portal, holding you in the courage to speak your truth. And just imagine that you're now looking out at the world from behind your throat. Now I want you to look up and see your head above you in your mind's eye, in your imagination. And now as you continue moving the energy down into your stomach, your solar plexus, that it's settling right behind your heart. And I want you to see your beautiful heart beating with the sound and the beat of Gaia, and settling right into that space. See your lungs expanding and contracting on either side of your heart with each breath. And now as you enter your heart, I want you to really dive into your heart, into that beautiful fire energy. And step right inside your heart right now. And see the blood rushing by in this magnificent four-chamber pump. That is also your dominant brain. And in the center of your heart, notice a sphere of beautiful white, gold, blue, shimmering light. And I want you to merge with that sphere of light. Right now, just be on the edge with it, looking into the center of that sphere of light. And if you find your mind coming up and saying, you can't do that or you don't know how, just ask your mind to be the silent observer and trust that you have always known how to do this. This is our first line of communication was feeling, and it's nonverbal. So just stay there. And now with each breath, see this beautiful sphere of light grow bigger and bigger and bigger. And it's now covering your whole heart. And I want you to see your heart beating inside your sphere of light right now. And now it covers your entire torso, your stomach, your vital organs. And as you look within, you see yourself sitting in the center of light, this beautiful sphere of light, which is your diamond codes, your light frequency. And on the next in-breath, I want you to now expand it even further so it covers the room that you're sitting in. And everything is now inside the sphere of light. And now it expands even further to cover the suburb or the town that you're living in. And on your exhale, it's growing even bigger and bigger and further and further. Now I want you to look down and see everything around you, the building, the immediate area you're in. Notice the messages that are carried on the four directions of the wind and the trees, the birds, whatever else is there with you now. And as it continues to pulsate and grow with every heartbeat, covering the whole town or city that you're in. And again, now I want you to look at it from the direction of the east, where you're soaring way above the whole sphere of life. And this beautiful white light is growing, covering the whole province, the whole country that you're living in, expanding, growing, amplifying as it covers the entire continent that you're in, as it connects Mother Earth with Father Sun, as it grows even bigger. And now I want you to see yourself like you're an astronaut, looking down as this beautiful heart light covers the whole Earth. And it expands even further into the entire solar system, into the galaxies and beyond. And all of this is inside your sphere of light. Beyond the universes, as far as you want to go, all within your sphere of light. And now as you breathe in, notice that the sphere of light becomes even bigger. And it embraces you with this beautiful, warm hug. And I want you to start to see the light as it begins to come back around the galactic confederations, the star lights, the seeds, the galaxies, the solar systems, the planets. All the sun and the moons are now in your sphere of light. And on your next inhale, bring in the energy back around the earth, the continent, your country, around your state or province that you're in, your town, your suburb, back around the building you're sitting in, and now back into the area around you. Notice these spheres of light coming back into your body. And I want you to see yourself around your body now, and that this beautiful white healing light comes in from the back around your torso, up your divine line, your heart, and now back inside your heart. And then on your next inhale, I want you to separate from this sphere of light, which is your energetic diamond blueprint that you can visit and access at any time. It never leaves you. But just for now, I want you to see your heart beating in front of you. Lungs to either side, expanding and contracting with every in and out breath. And now make your way up through your throat, behind your mouth, back behind your eyes, up through the top of your crown chakra, seeing any of that calcification on the pineal gland, collapsing, going down to the earth for recycling. And on your next in-breath, I want you to say hum. Inhale, hum. And exhale, sa. Inhale, hum. Exhale, sa. And now gently rub your hands together. Move your hands over your face, over your body. Give yourself a big, beautiful, full body hug. And open your eyes. And say off to me, I am ready and willing to receive all the love that is available to me now. I am safe. I am protected. I am the light. I am loved. And so it is. A home.
Whew. Thank you. Beautiful, beautiful journey that you took us through. Thank you so much for that offering.
It's my absolute pleasure. And you know, I think the most important thing is just to remember that it's as simple as breathing. There is no lack or scarcity in nature. And all we have to do is choose to inhale love and exhale everything that is no longer serving us.
Well, Sarah Jane, thank you so much for being here and for your amazing insights and wisdom and bringing your incredible energy and doing readings for people and body scans and sharing so much of yourself with everyone today. So thank you so much for being here. We really appreciate you.
Thank you so much, Ian. It's been an absolute honor and privilege.
Yeah, thank you, thank you. And thank you to all you shining lights who joined us today. You are such an important part of this community. You make us vital. This community is so much stronger because everyone who is in it. Thank you so much. We pray that we've made your lives richer for being here, and we've touched you in some way. We thank Divine Mother, Divine Father, Mother Earth and Father Son, all the beautiful divine beings of love, life, power, and service, and the ancient ones for being with us here today. All right, everyone. Thanks so much. Much love. See you again. Bye now.
Bye.